Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The GigCast.
Hey folks, JT here, and yeah, this was really, really late, GigCast 178. I really apologize, I could come up with a bunch of excuses, but basically life gets in the way, and it happens. This was recorded last weekend, before the Super Bowl, Saturday night. A lot of fun. Leo Hernandez and a bunch of other guys, Casey Green, Horatio from Rampage Network, and that's not his real name, but there you go. Whole bunch of people. Whole lot of fun. I'm not going to do any news or Twitter bits or the TBBA spotlight this week because the next show is going to come out on time on Thursday, and it'll just be doubling things up. It's kind of silly. So without further ado, here is the impromptu talk show show we did on Saturday night a week and a half ago. A lot of fun with special guest Leo Hernandez. So let's take it. Let's go there now. Hello, Leah.
I'm unmuted.
You are unmuted. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. What's new with you? I'm sure you have opinions on everything. So what's going on with you?
I can't hear the rest of the people now.
You can just hear me? Well, there's only me and Garrett that can talk right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Working on a two-pager for an anthology edited by Mike Hoffman editor. It's called Minerva's Wreck.
Oh, very nice.
In a second. Now all of a sudden, I can't remember which paper he writes for. Hang on. Okay. His name is Brenner, and he is an editor at it's Austin paper, but it's not the Austin American States. Austin Chronicle.
Oh.
There you go. The Austin Chronicle, which is the weekly paper, and he's actually pretty damn cool.
Excellent.
Is Brenner 861.vox.com.
Very, very cool.
He's a very good writer. Then you can actually like catch up on his writing and stuff, which is cool. Pretty cool. He has a story about the day his car broke down on the way to his daughter's birthday party and the hilarity that ensued.
Cool.
Good guy. And I rode my bike today.
You know. Oh, very nice. How have things been in general with you since the calamities of years past?
Oh, you know, 2008 is really seriously fired, but I mean, it's better since the fire than before the fire.
Oh, good.
You know, a lot changed after. It's like, you know, you almost die. Like, we had a minute to get out of the house.
Right.
You almost die, and then, you know, a lot of stuff isn't really that scary anymore.
Kind of rearranges your perspective a little bit, I would assume.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I'm not scared. Well, you know, I was never scared of being divorced. I was scared of my spouse's reaction to saying I wanted to get a divorce. And it was like, I mean, he didn't take it well, and I didn't expect him to, but, you know, I stopped being afraid of that. So I was like, okay, I'm not afraid of that. I'm going to eat in bed now. I'm going to read the book light on. I'm going to do whatever I damn well please within reason and more of it. So,
excellent.
You know, it's not the kind of thing you would expect to hear, but it actually gave me a lot of confidence. So there you go.
Well, I can understand that definitely. I mean, like you said, you're not scared anymore. A life-changing experience like that really does rearrange your sensibilities, your the way you look at things. So, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds corny to say changing my life, but it really did. It really, really, really did. So, you know, and that's like, what, 2.5 years ago now already, so.
Yeah.
You know, now it's just moving forward now. It's like, okay, I've done that. Although, San Diego, it was like, you can escape from New York.
Yeah.
Okay,
Snake Plissken,
you know,
sure.
That repeating line, Snake Plissken, I thought you were dead, yeah. and it was like that kind of at San Diego. It's like Emilio Hernandez. Oh, and I was like, yeah, right, the house fire. You know, over and over again until there was one person who was like, yeah, right, the house fire. And they're like, your house burned down? I mean, they knew me and they didn't know this. And they're like, your house burned down. And I was like, I thought you knew me because my house burned down. Yeah. No, I know you because of your work. I didn't know your house burned down. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah, that's right. I did do some comics.
Sure.
No, uh-huh. Yeah, I was like, you know, I thought everybody knew, and not because I'm like a, you know, fire survivor egomaniac. It was just that so many people before that knew me because my house burned down. I was like, yeah, I did some comics too. Anyway, yeah. So that's what's going on with me.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that your things have changed for the better for you. That's excellent. Because I mean, it seems amazing to me that was 2.5 years ago. I mean, because I've been doing the webcomic podcasting for so long that the time frame, just that kind of puts in perspective. It's been 2.5 years since that happened. That's just amazing.
You know, but it's good because the day of the fire, you know, there's a picture of my daughter and she's over the car, and right about that, she's looking over the car and a couple of little things that didn't get burned up are sitting on top of the car. And right after that, I said, you know, before you know it, it's going to be a month, then we'll be back in the house, then it'll be a year, then it'll be two, and then you'll stop thinking about it all the time. You'll have to remind yourself of what day it was that it happened. And you know, it went faster than even I expected. I was like, man, all I could think right now, right then was, God, I want it to be 6 months from now. You know, I don't want it to be today. But yeah, it went really, 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 really fast. And I haven't finished a book in those 2 years. And I have to keep reminding myself that a whole lot happened in those 2 years that sort of, you know, didn't leave me a lot of time or a lot of headspace to draw. Yeah.
But you're obviously getting back into it with the story you're working on and everything else.
Yeah, and you know, I know this doesn't make my soon-to-be ex feel really good, but once I, you know, said I'm getting divorced, and I was like, okay, and I'm not backing out of it this time because you just keep screwing up every time I say I won't. I was actually able to work again. I hadn't been able to work, and I had this big comic book tattoo deadline looming over me, and I couldn't work, and the deadline got moved. You know, all of a sudden, there's a month cut off of this, and now I'm really panicking. And then, you know, and I was, I can't draw, because, you know, I kept hearing about the insurance, get the insurance done, get the insurance done, and that's all I could think about. And finally, I was like, you know, here's the receipt. We're getting divorced, or I'm getting divorced from you. And then I was able to work again.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
It's like one of them, like a mental block almost, that was just keeping you from moving forward.
Yeah, because, you know, it really, you know how it is when you don't realize there's this incredibly heavy weight on you until it's gone.
Yeah.
It was like that.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, that's it's an amazing story, and just hopefully just good things for you in the future. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't really excel now, right?
What?
I was going to, how are your kids doing? I know that you have the autism on one of them, or is that?
Yeah, he's 13. He's kind of a bad night tonight because he tried to get on the bed with Mark and Summer, and the poor bed is just broken to bits inside, and it's like kind of like only wishful thinking is holding it together until we can replace the mattress. And he kind of got yelled at. It was like, ah, get off the bed, it's breaking. And he goes and sits down on the other side of the room, and he kind of looks tired. And then, you know, Mark notices before I do that he's just feeling really sad because he got chased away. And I'm like, okay, go ahead, put the knife in my heart. And it was just like the saddest little face. And I'm like, how many times did he have that look on his face when I couldn't see it and I couldn't help him? Stab, stab, stab. But he's doing really good. He knows how to spell like 75 words by heart, and he can work his way through another 100. And he's asking how to have things. He's asking for things to be spelled for him now on his own. He wants to know how things are spelled for himself, which is really
cool.
A big important step. And he's doing really good socially, you know. But then, you know, treat him. It's like, oh, he's a sweet boy. And then he, you know, reminds us immediately that he's also the 13-year-old boy.
Yeah,
he had really bad breath. And I said, go brush your teeth. And he's like, I don't want to brush my teeth. And I was like, you got poop breath. And he starts to laugh. And I'm like, no, your mouth smells like poop, poop, poop. He thinks this is really funny. But he gets up, and he goes and washes his hands with the nail brush, and he brushes his teeth, and I was back out in the kitchen by that time, and I came over and I said, okay, did you brush your teeth? And he comes up and kind of breathes out of me, and it's like such an improvement. And I was like, that's really great. And I give him a big hug, and I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And he just belches right in my face.
Well, he is a 13-year-old boy. I mean, that's,
yeah, exactly.
You're not
going to
take that out.
Like that, like a trucker. I'm like, that's just, thanks, honey. Thank you very much. So and my daughter's been good.
Oh, good.
So, she's good, too. If anybody wants to see what she's doing, her DeviantArt ID is Avon-Delta.
Avon-Delta.
Yeah, she's a very prolific artist. She's really into Transformers now, so she's constantly designing robots now.
Oh, cool.
Nothing
Carol wrong with that.
It was Sergeant Frog, and, you know, she was designing all sorts of frog characters, and then she's moved on to Transformers, and now she's playing the Gaia MMO called Oh My God, and I know everything there is to know about that now, whether I want to or not.
I've seen those badges on a webcomic before, Sister Claire. Yeah.
What's that?
That artist.
I don't think she heard what you were asking. What was the question?
I wasn't asking you something. I had seen one of those Gaia online had badges on another website, Sister Claire's webcomic.
Yeah. I mean, Gaia is sort of exhausting visually. Because I was like, wow, I was raised on MTV, and this seems like too much to me. And, you know, I'm like raised on the jump cut, and yet I'm like, this is going to be, I don't know where to look. It's hard to filter all the information I have on. But it's very nice looking. It's just that it make you want stuff, because some of this stuff is so cool, and the stuff you can actually buy when you're a Poe Guy user is just so crap compared to the really good shit stuff. But you have to go buy a card to have money in the game. And each penny corresponds with, you know, a Gaia dollar in the game. So if you buy $5 worth, you've got $500. And you can barely touch the best stuff for $500.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, you'd have to spend $30 to get one of the really cool things in the game.
That's a scam.
And you're paying $30 for
pixels.
Pixels. And I was just like,
yeah.
Okay, you know, it's one thing to like pay a monthly membership or buy a game so you can participate on an MMO, but you know, you're done right there, or you're done for the month. And I'm going to draw the line somewhere, and I draw the line at you know, paying $30 for pixels.
Yeah.
Like, no. No. I'm a parent, so I see all the other ways $30 could pay for stuff. I'm like, oh, $30 is our water.
Yeah, no kidding.
Our water bill. $30 is 10 gallons of milk.
Yeah, milk. Yeah, milk. Exactly. That'll get you to and from school a few times.
It's not. It's only seven gallons of milk, but still 7 gallons of milk.
Yeah.
Dad gum. Like $30 is a front basket for my bicycle. You can't have $30 Gaia cash. Anyway, somebody else take some.
Hey,
Leah. I was wondering if there's any San Antonio creator meetups, because it seems now that I've disappeared from San Antonio for a bit, I'm finding out every web comic creator is now from San Antonio.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're all coming from, they're all moving to Seattle, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
There's a lot of people in Texas.
I kind of would like to move, if money was no object, I would either move to Austin because they have a really good art scene there. But this, like, you know, with the understanding I could buy a house paid with cash in Austin. I wouldn't live in Austin if I had to live in, like, a crap apartment, which is what my current income would dictate. It's like, oh, I'm not living in another apartment. I'll stay here and deal with the hot summers. If I couldn't buy a house, like, bam, just like that, I wouldn't go anywhere. But if money were no object, I would either go to Austin or Portland, probably.
Cool.
Because I really like California, but it wears really thin in about 4 days because it's... It's not like here.
Hey, while
but San Antonio has culture.
Yes, I think Austin has more, but San Antonio has nicer people. People in, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, all you people in San Francisco, get ready to get mad, but people in San Francisco are not that darn nice.
So, I would go so far as saying San Antonians are nice, though.
They're what?
They're the French of America. There we go.
The French
oh,
of
America.
San Franciscans.
Yeah, I would go so far. It's like just, damn.
They're so French. The French go, whoa, dude, what are you doing?
Well, they're a little stuck up.
Yeah. That's your problem. Yes, that's what the French do. It's like, what did your problem?
Exactly.
We also smoothie that we find you funny.
Hey, before we get too far into all this, while we were talking with Leah, Casey Green jumped on the line. Say hi, Casey.
Hello, Casey.
From Rumbelow.com over there on Keen Spot. And we also have Nick Nitro from Dribble for Kids and the Good, the Bad, and the Geeky podcast. Welcome, Nick. How you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I am doing good. How about you, sir?
I'm doing just peachy. Just
awesome.
Peachy. This
awesome.
Is an impromptu Saturday night get-together because the Sequential Ladders pub was canceled, and I had beer in the fridge, and why not? Well, there's always
hell
people
yeah.
to talk.
You know what? Beer, I'm getting some Baileys. I've never had Baileys before, and I'm going to get me some Baileys. So.
Do you have any coffee?
I'll be right back. No, I do not. I've never had Baileys before. I got it for a Christmas gift, and it's been sitting in my refrigerator. Because they told me to chill it, and I'm just like,
just pour it over some ice, man. Pour it over some ice and just
it's
enjoy.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's pretty.
All right, well, I'll be right back, and I'll be back hopefully liquored. So one moment.
Right.
Okay, Lisa John Tay calls because she actually got Irish cream, and she's like, no, it's not like Bailey's; it's real Irish cream, and she calls it booze candy.
Booze candy. You know, if in the when it gets to late in the evening, there's absolutely nothing better than Bailey's and coffee to keep the party going.
Oh yeah,
oh
if
so
you're,
good.
You're
caffeine like, and booze, yeah, it's beautiful.
You're off your face and yet wired.
Exactly.
Like it's amazing to like feel like you have no inhibitions and yet.
Miss Kukowski has it nailed. The Irish car bomb where you drop the Baileys into Guinness and it just tastes like chocolate milk. It's so good.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Irish car bomb.
What you really do is you get like a lowball glass and you fill it about halfway, you know, about three quarters of the way up with Guinness. And then you take the Baileys in a shot glass and drop the whole shot glass in and then chug it. And oh, my. It's like chocolate milkshake Nirvana. So good.
How long does it take for like the numbness to hit your hand?
Not long. Not long. Oh. A few of those, and it's just, oh, that's so good, though.
Last summer, the
problem is about the fourth one, the shot glass is in real danger of knocking out your front teeth when you take the slam back the Guinness. So you got to be careful. That's the only problem with those.
Sunday night with last San Diego, by wacky chain of events, I ended up out at karaoke with a guy named Hannibal Tabu, T-A-B-U. And he took me to karaoke. I'd never been to karaoke before, and I'm sort of like, oh, I was really nervous. But after I was done, I was like, oh, all you have to do is get your mouth really close to the mic and yell. Hannibal knew the DJ because he's seen him like every year for 3 years straight or something. And the DJ's like, can I buy you a drink? And Hannibal, who's one of his catchphrases is, it's okay, I'm drunk too, when somebody, goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much or I'm being inappropriate. He'll just say, oh, I'm drunk too, but he doesn't drink. He just says that to make people feel better. But Hannibal doesn't drink, and I do sometimes. And the guy's like, let me buy you a drink. And Hannibal's like, I don't drink. And he's like, well, I'll buy, and he was going to buy us both a drink because I was with Hannibal. And I was like, oh, okay. And he gets me a shot of Goldschlager.
Oh, good stuff.
Cinnamon, cinnamon schnapps.
Yeah, with the gold flakes floating in it. Yeah.
And I was kind of like, dabbing my lips into it, like I was like, oh, I just put a little benzocaine on my lips. And he's like, no, you shoot it. And I'm like, oh. So I was like, shonk, made it all go away. And less than halfway through Moon Dance, the room was tilting sideways.
Well, that sure has that effect on everybody. It's nothing to do with. Wait,
I thought I wasn't going to get through the second course. We just, before I fell over like the lightweight that I am. I mean, I was leaning way over. It's like, and in the back of my head, in front of me, I have no coordination left whatsoever. In the back of my head, I'm like, I really do not want to fall over in front of the drunk people. Wait.
Oh, wait, you said Moon Dance, the song. I was thinking Moonstruck, the movie. My bad.
No, Moon Dance, the song.
The song, yeah. But it's a wonderful
I'm used
night
to the Michael Bublé version, and this was the Van Morrison version, and so I wasn't quite as bad as the white guy who tried to rap and got his butt handed to him because he could only manage every 50th word, but at some point it was pretty pitiful.
Leonard Bernstein. Sorry.
A little into
the Bailey's is kicking in.
Already.
He's like, shoot. Buster. Car. Ho. That's all. And then, what makes it even worse is these two guys come up and they do, the Queen song. It's like, Mamma Mia Figaro. What is, I'd like to know the name of the song.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
And
a little Queen.
Yeah.
The has never put aside for me.
He's got it.
For me.
Prompter doesn't work.
I'm banging my head here. Just you can't see it.
Every single word of it, and they were fantastic. And I was like, you know what? Now I suck even more. It's like, it was like they were so good. They made everybody, they like took every little bit of not suck out of everyone else and made them suck even more.
Aww.
They were so good. I was like, well, that was worth coming for, but then it was, yeah. But it was fun. I'm going to do it again when I'm done.
Excellent. Hey, Casey, this has been a while since I've actually talked with you on like talk. What's up, man? How are you doing? Are you ready for MegaCon?
I'm doing great, JT. But I'm getting ready for MegaCon. I'm getting a bunch of mini comics made up for MegaCon.
Excellent.
I might have just two new ones. I might have four new ones. I'm not sure yet.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
You're going to be rocking the show there. You're going to have any groupies this year?
Nick, the guy from last year, he's going to be there, but he's not going to deal. You don't have to deal with him on a regular basis he did last time. And I'm going to have a friend from Dead Winter .cc, the comic Dead Winter. Dave is going to be there, but he's got his own arrangements also.
Oh, cool.
So we'll be over there punching each other in the arm, calling each other jerks.
Excellent.
You know, it all works.
Fun stuff. Good. This is going to be good.
Some of the hourly comics, will they be sold as well? Because I've been really digging those, Casey. I think they're hilarious.
The what comics?
The hourly comics that you've been doing.
I don't know. I have no clue about that. I'm not even sure if I'm going to continue doing them for the rest of this week because they're really hard to keep up with and care about.
You're all like fresh for the first 3 days and then you're like, oh.
Yep.
Then it's really hard to keep up. Now I want to know, when you say groupies, are there quotes around that word?
No, it was an actual groupie he had. It was an actual guy who would not leave him alone the entire weekend. And he just kind of hung out.
It was my friend.
Yeah.
He was a friend I met. Whatever. JT is just mad because he didn't have one.
I know. I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
JT
is just jealous.
Don't worry, JT. With that hat now, they're going to be swarming over you.
I know.
That's
I'm
exactly
all set. I'm rocking.
The ladies are not going to be able to stay away from your danglies. Oh,
you know, yeah. You know, I've been wearing the hat straight for a week now, and I have not one person has come up and said and mentioned anything about Firefly to me. I've gotten some strange looks.
I don't get the reference.
Huh?
I don't get the reference to Firefly.
Oh, man. You're kidding, right?
Okay, I've only seen Serenity, and I get the reference, because I don't think he wears it in the movie
he doesn't wear it in the movie.
I understand there is a sighting of the hat in the movie, but he does not wear the hat in the movie.
You know,
yeah, Adam Baldwin.
Yeah.
That is so nerdy to call it a hat sighting. Like, you're there with binoculars.
Going frame by frame by frame by frame. I think I saw a part of the pom-pom. Look, up there. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. You know, you're there in whatever geek, you know, Roswell there is, you know, like, Jane Hat, welcome. Jane Hat, welcome. Just looking for it.
Wasn't it just in one episode?
It was. The last episode. The last one they filmed, The Message. And he got the hat, and I'm sure if the series had continued, the hat would have played a prominent part in many an episode. I have no doubt in my mind.
But of course, Joss Whedon, being a wonderful creative genius, but also a bit of a dick, he would have killed the hat in the very last episode. Instead of a big pirate hat, he would let the pirate hat live, but then kill off the really cool Jane hat.
There would have been a poof, and all this like just little yarn pieces would be floating down somewhere, you know. It'd be just a big poof. It would have got sucked into the engine or something, you know. But you know, doing some kind of weird maneuver or something.
Yeah, and you know, just before he kills it, the hat will be smiling.
That's right. It'll be like, phew, we're all safe. Poof. Yeah, exactly.
That'll be going, yay, I protected your hair, so poof. You'll be like, no, hat, no.
Yeah.
And then he'll get extra angry and like kill everybody else and save the day. And
Yeah, you know, and then in the blooper reel, you know, Nathan Fillion would be going, yeah, dig up that hat, taking a dirt nap with baby Jesus. We need to have a ornament. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've established my nerd crib.
Right. See, these are the peeps. Yeah. You know, if you the peeps that if I walked by on the way to class on campus, you'd say something about, hey, you know, a man walks down the street in that hat, you know, he's not afraid of anything. There'd be some reference. There'd be just something, or just a nod in a you know, a little brown coat wink or something. But no.
Yeah.
The problem is
you can
it's the damn
cosplay
kids.
For MegaCon as him.
I'm gonna see if I can find some BDU, you know, some olive drab BDU pants. And unfortunately, skin tight T-shirt and me, you don't really want to see.
I was about to say, you're going to do this. You really want to take the risk of like somebody putting a, you know, wise ass caption on your picture of you?
It's going to happen anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
And look, Jane got all out of shape on the spaceship. Hi, yuck. But you know what? You have the hat. You aren't afraid of anything.
That's right. Hey, I've worn that hat to classes. I've worn it to Walmart. I've worn it to. It was actually cold in Florida here for a while. It was in the, you know, in the 30s, in the low 40s. And so I was actually wearing the hat for a reason, not just to wear the hat.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you're a better man than me, sir. You're a better man because I have that Cartman hat, and I guess you know. Oh, hey, look, it's a fat guy. He's wearing a hat looks like Cartman. Hey, Cartman. No, I have a name. So that's when I just said, I stopped. I didn't even have to wear the red coat or the brown pants. They just go, oh, hey.
I'm sure the people who wear parachute pants in the winter say it's for utility as well.
Exactly. That's right.
Come on, Tom.
You know what? Parachute pants and corduroy sound the same way. It sounds like you're naming teeth over and over again.
Yeah. I'm thinking back to my high school days and how many thighs I wore out of my corduroy pants.
Okay, now, did they actually wear out? Did any of them ever explode?
Holes,
at an inner moment, or they blew out and you didn't know it, and you, like, sit down, and you're like, you got your knees apart, you're kind of showing off your corduroy junk,
it was more like, okay, I'd get up and I'd go outside, and I'd sit down outside, and I noticed that my crotch was kind of chilly. And you look down and notice, oh, okay, yeah, there's holes there now. I better go back and change my pants.
You're like, your thigh knee is hemorrhaging, or, you know, herniating out of your corduroy.
No, I am a brief man, so I didn't have any boxer issues with just, you know, things falling out of inopportune holes.
Ask me how I know. My jeans blew out on 24-hour comics day, and yeah, I had the problem. It's like, well, the back of my leg is really cold. Am I getting deep vein thrombosis? Is like, do I have horrible nerve damage? And then I realized, you know, like the back of the leg is just completely blown out. And I was like, it's 24-hour comics day. And I'm sitting here, I got to sit, and I'm sitting here with a blown out pair of pants that are like actually attacking the you know, the very untough back of my thigh. And I'm like, yeah, this figures. It's like, okay, you know, is somebody going to like put some of those, like, you know, workout weights on my arms next, maybe blindfold me.
That's also called dedication, though. Dedication.
Yeah, that's it. Dedication.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's it.
I was real dedicated until there was a bar fight because there was a disco next door that was actually rattling the glass shelves in the comic store. And until there was a bar fight and there were like 12 cop cars and an ambulance, we were real dedicated. And then after watching that, we're just like, you know, we didn't feel like drawing much. That was like, it was too much excitement, and we couldn't draw anymore after that.
Wouldn't it be fodder for a 24-hour comic, though?
Wouldn't you think?
Wait a second. Hold on. I have to comment on this. Garrett?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just typed in the chat room, if you're hearing a lot of background noise, you're taking your Christmas tree down. Dude.
What does the Christmas tree sound like?
Dude, it's a month since Christmas. I mean, I've heard people even leave lights up all year because you got to get on a ladder and whatnot, but your tree?
Our state up.
Yeah, I finally found the time to take the tree down now that Sequential Artist Club was canceled.
Hey, our stayed up from like mid-December 2000.
She's given a year.
Mid-December 2007, and it's still up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, if that's a lifestyle choice, that's okay. But just leaving it up for a whole month after Christmas because he kept around to it.
You know, I really wanted like a nice potted plant. But, you know, you walk past the Christmas tree and it's kind of in a weird corner and you kind of forget it's there. You walk past it and go, well, we haven't taken it down yet. And then you forget about it for a couple of weeks. You know, like, I haven't taken it down yet.
We always thought we just like, okay, about mid-January, you start hanging hearts on it. And then after February 14th, you put shamrocks on it. And then, you know, you just kind of keep it in season. Then whenever Easter rolls around, you get eggs. You know, that's what
Yeah, that
think.
Is actually our lifestyle choices, you know, seasonal decorations for the tree. Cause we don't
that's
have
going to work pretty well in Alaska or any place where deciduous.
I saw one of the coolest things in the store earlier on this year. There were LED lights, right? That you bought. They were for Halloween, though, right? And they were like purple and orange. And then there's a button you push. You push the button, and they turn like red, green, yellow, blue. You know, Christmas colors. You just leave the lights up, and when Halloween's over, you hit a switch, and bam, you get your Christmas lights up.
That's awesome.
That's why I put a pole up. I put an aluminum pole up each year, just to keep it simple.
Festivus.
Every day is Festivus.
Festivus, yeah.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus for the rest of the year.
Serenity now.
The movie.
Well,
my favorite lifestyle choice in terms of the Christmas tree is humping the Christmas tree, but I mean, that's a little bit, you know, that's my lifestyle choice.
That's not true.
Yeah.
I'm not moving over the line there.
Way to kill the conversation. All right.
Kevin, are any of you familiar with Dilbert's Ultimate House?
No.
Yeah. Scott Adams designed a house that is supposed to be very efficient in a lot of ways. And he actually, in the design of the house, he has a closet for the Christmas tree. So you just keep it decorated all year round.
And just pull it out when you need it. Beautiful.
Done.
See, if I had a closet that would hold a Christmas tree like that, I would...
You didn't need the closet for anything
exactly,
else?
Exactly.
You know, what's ironic is we had so little left after the fire that it made sense to have smaller closets until, you know, we replaced things. And then it was like, oh, crap. We really didn't think this through. we have some storage issues right now. But I think I've figured out. I mean, I never had a lot of clothes anyway, but I think I'm going to have to, like, I wish I had an umbrella tree, like in, you know, the Grinch who stole How the Grinch Stole Christmas Tree. Poof, and then you snap it back down again.
I still remember fondly the year we got the artificial tree with the lights, pre-lit Christmas tree.
It was the best thing ever.
That was like, it was nirvana, because, you know, me being the guy, when I was growing up, I was the oldest son, so putting lights in the tree is my deal, is what I got to do. But now I just got to decorate the outside, which is fine. It's manly enough out there with the ladder and the, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was awesome. It saved so much time. So much time.
I want another one.
The lights were the hardest thing to remove.
Yeah.
All right. See, I hate dealing with strings of lights because I don't care what they say. When one light goes out, it takes everyone with them. It's like lemmings going off a Christmas cliff.
Yeah.
They all go. It's like, no, that one dies. You know, one doesn't die, and everybody else is like, soldier on, little light, soldier on. And they're all just like, screw it.
You know, in theory, they work.
It's like a little, you know, it's a little suicide light. And, you know, we tested the lights that had been on for a whole year, and of course it didn't light. And we're like, no, I'm not lighting it. I'm not pulling these off, and I'm not putting a new set back on. I was like, the next tree I get is going to be like that fiber optic. So it goes, woo!
Yeah. I always wanted to.
I like how you made that sound so happy, a Christmas cliff.
When I was
die jumping off a Christmas cliff this year.
I always wanted to have. When I make my perfect house, it's got the whole outline is going to be, you have the fiber optics in there with a room, and I could just throw in a different color wheel for different holidays. You know, the lights are already, you can't see them during the day because it's fiber optic. You know, it's little points. Just throw in a different color wheel, and bam, I got the, you know, Christmas, get the Halloween, get the 4th of July.
I'd like to have lights up for every month of the year, a different theme.
Somebody playing a Casio tone?
What's that? They have, you know, lights up.
Okay, what music am
somebody,
I hearing?
Somebody's playing like a Casio tone keyboard or something. What's going on?
That is, I was playing O Tenenbaum from Vince Begaldi from Charlie Brown Christmas. I thought it was fitting on my iPhone. I'm sorry. I was playing it for the last 4 minutes.
I know, but I'm like waiting to see.
It kept getting louder, so I was like, wait, because it sounds sort of like a little choking harmonica. The sound quality isn't so good, so I couldn't hear, you know, how pretty it was. I just kind of heard,
It sounded like the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Hey, no, that's what it sounded.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. I was looking for any Christmas song with O Tenenbaum or... Oh, Christmas tree. I was like, oh, wait, I have the Charlie Brown Christmas. So I can't say that guy's last name, so I... The Vince G guy.
Giraldi?
Hey,
yeah!
This is a little random, but what does everyone think of that guy from Talk Show when you guys call in? So you're hearing this live. He sounds all measly.
Wow.
Are you listening? Are you listening to it over there?
No, I'm
wondering if there are any interviews with that guy.
I'm really hurt that you said that. Because that's me. I'm really hurt, man. Okay,
that's
now
you that talks, you guys?
And now play the sad music.
Now that...
Okay, sugar.
Oh, wait a minute.
Tree humping didn't kill the phone call. That killed the phone call.
What's that?
I was saying that I was really hurt because I was the voice of the talk shoe guy.
Oh.
But you
already sound
like he's holding his nose.
Talk to you. Recorded live.
You know, recorded.
I always thought
I hate that guy.
I always thought it sounded too much like Scott Kurtz. It sounds like he's saying it.
Did you ever see Kurtz Roasted on by Triumph?
Yes. Yes, I saw that, and I remember what Kurtz said about it. He said, I've never been so happy to call a fat ass. I was like, oh. But yeah, Triumph sort of, you know, I was like kind of cringing at that point because, like, you know, this guy is just picking on him and not letting him say anything. And I'm like, but there were other parts he did. My favorite part of that whole segment is when he actually had a presentation. He had a panel, Triumph. And he said, okay, now I want you all to stand up. It's like a motivation.
Oh, yeah.
I want you all to stand up and do one
jumping jack.
Yeah, that's right. One jumping jack. And I, you know, there were parts of it. They're just like, of course they're going to make me cringe. But that part, I was like, that's so damn mean. And yet I'm just like, yeah. You know, kind of having a coughing fit. I'm laughing.
No
so
kidding.
Hard.
No kidding.
By the way, Leah, okay, because it's a dog saying all that.
That is true.
Well.
Leah, I found Lord Reckington Fear. He is as per the Encyclopedia Dramatica, which I've never even heard of before. It says, Lord Reckington Fear is a basement-dwelling wannabe hipster living in Queens, notably for his obsessively updated live journal.
Uh-huh.
And it goes on. It's very sad.
Encyclopedia Dramatica is very, yeah.
I've never even heard of that before.
No, you've never heard of Encyclopedia Dramatica before, huh?
I really have not.
I actually checked my own name in Encyclopedia Dramatica because I was like, oh God, please don't let me be in here. These people are horrible.
Oh, my favorite part of the entire page is I'm looking through it. It says, artistic failures. Rex attempts at drawing comics are utter shit, obviously. And every time it says anything about anything, it says Rex's attempt at making music are utter shit, obviously. And the next one, it says Rex's attempts at writing poetry are utter, well, yeah, you get the picture. Oh,
okay. Hey, let's have a quick roll call here because people are asking in the chat room who exactly is talking. So Leah Hernandez, say hi.
Hi.
Horatio, say hi.
Or John Hernandez, actually.
Oh, sorry. All right, John, say hi. Garrett Williams, say hi.
Hello.
And Casey Green, say something.
Something.
There you go, something. And Lit, did you have a microphone or not there, Lit?
I'm not sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that would be yes. Lit is obviously from Tile of Geek. Welcome to the show. And, of course, Nick Nitro with the song Say Hi.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody?
All right, there we go. That's who's on the call. Those of you who have tuning in late, just so you know. And yeah, we're gonna go here
now
for a little bit longer.
Dun dun dun.
I might actually be able to just make this.
You know to stay away from JT Shea and talk shoes.
Damn, Skippy. You know this may actually just be Gigcast 178, and I'm taking the rest of the week off. Here we go. This is good enough.
What a bomb.
No.
Well, you only have to bleep me once, so it should be easy.
I'm not bleeping anybody. I'm not worried about it.
I am being so well behaved.
I am.
You know,
too.
You really are. You
I
really
would, like,
are.
Take 4 F words by now. You know, I don't know why.
It's. I don't know. But I was.
The more alcohol I drink, the more Bailey's
the more
I drink,
mellow
the more
you
less
get.
Cussing.
Amazing.
Okay, my daughter. You know, my daughter knows me. And my mouth. You've raised a kid a lot like yourself. Effing in church. The context being, you're going to come to church, you can stay in here for Ward or College, but it's just 20 minutes, you never come in, I want you with me. And she stops dead, yanks me back because I'm still walking, and says, I don't want to go to effing service.
Light switch over there for
the
service.
She was nine.
The one above the fan control. For
she was nine when she did this, but I told her about, you know, going on. Was it your show, JT, where they were like, okay, wait, do you have the delay on? We're going to put Leah on the line. Was that
your
show?
Yeah, that might have been. I don't know. But when I saw you, hey, you ring in, I was like, oh, geez, this is not going. I'm not recording this one. But
you have your finger on the button. Leah's on now.
I was thinking back to the couple of podcasts you put out a few years ago. I'm like, oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah, they were.
They were good. They were good, but they were like, don't listen to them in the car. Not with the kids in the car. Can't do that.
Yeah. No, you know, every time I say that, you say, that's the word Leah uses. That's Leah's word. That's not your word. That's Leah's word. You can't use that. You lower money. That's what a friend of mine.
Music?
If she slips, she just says, only mommy says that word. Yeah. I'm trying to work a little cleaner. I'm trying to find words that do the job, and, you know, I'm sorry, frack doesn't do it.
Well,
you know, my favorite word sounds dirty, but it's not actually, well, it probably is, but not really. And I got it from Ghostbusters. God love Ghostbusters, and that's Mother Puss Bucket.
Mother Puss Bucket.
Yeah, remember he steps on the choach. He steps on the toich. And he goes, Mother, Puss Bucket. Nobody steps on a church in my town. I love that. And when I try not cussing for a while for the podcast, because every once in a while on my podcast, I cuss like a sailor horribly, and then I get the other guys to do it, which is funny. If you notice, they won't cuss until I cuss, and then it goes downhill from there, and I'm trying not to do that. And it's horrible. Like, I think I went like 50 minutes in, and I said an F word at the end, and after that, it was just every other word was F. It was horrible. But I when I go to those stages, I say Mother Puss Bucket a lot. It's awesome.
It is. Yes,
I also fight ghosts. It's pretty cool, too.
There's just nothing that's quite as satisfying as the F word.
Add words in front of it. There's that musical bit where it's like, today's word is the word, you know.
Oh, that one. The thing with the guy?
Yeah, he's like,
yes.
He's like, it's a noun, it's a verb, it's an adverb. You can use it as
awesome.
Every word of the sentence.
Yeah.
It's a good, useful word. There was one I came up with. I was at a convention, it was a bad one, and these guys had just kind of like screwed up everything backwards and forwards, and it was the one where I was seated next to a federal convict. Let's move on. It's just that I was next to a guy who had been convicted by the U.S. government. And why they let him in?
Who hasn't?
But I was trying to decide if I wanted to call these guys fuckers or knuckleheads. And what came out of my mouth was fuck knuckle. And that's been like our word for a, you know, a dumbass ever since. Been like, you f*** knuckle.
All right, now I got to bleep it. jeez.
Hey, can I ask for the record that it was not me?
It
I
was
just
not
like to
you. Okay,
right,
you know, we're speaking about words to use instead of words. We're flipping through the channels tonight, and Johnny Dangerously was on. Farging bastages.
Oh my God.
You
farging
ice holes.
Have you noticed how that actually got into culture?
Oh, sure.
People who've probably never seen it say ice hole.
Yeah. Farging bastages. You know, I still use that all the time. It's a great movie.
If you watch the version of The Big Lebowski, you know when Dan, what's his name? Or not Dan, he played Dan on Roseanne. Don Goodman goes out there, like, this is what you get when you F a stranger in the ass.
Yeah.
He goes out there, and apparently in the loop, he goes, this is what you get when you take a stranger to the house. Because he repeats it like five times in a row.
The TV version?
This is what you get when you take a stranger to the Alps. This is what you get. when you take a stranger to the Alps. It doesn't really make sense at all. You're just like, what?
John Goodman was hilarious in that film.
Yeah, he was.
The way he treated Donnie throughout the whole thing.
It's Chivas, man. Come on. Dude, you're not even Jewish.
We got rules here. This isn't Vietnam.
Walter, man. The room, man. It tied the room together, man.
Yeah.
God.
Yep. Okay, who's seen the extras on Shaun of the Dead where they shot the new scene so they're not using the F word repeatedly?
No, I haven't seen it.
They use funk instead of the F word. So it's like the funking. But it was so they could cut it into an airplane. And yeah. I'm like, what would an airplane version of Shaun of the Dead be like? I mean, it's just like, do you just warn people not to have any tomato juice?
Yeah.
What?
Look, there's a wall. Let's shoot that, and like we'll hear people screaming, and we'll come back, and Sean will just be zombies.
What did they show playing video games in the shed at the end? A dog? What?
Yeah,
it's my friend.
Yeah.
He tries to bite you once in a while. What?
No, I'm agreeing. I mean, how could they put Shaun of the Dead on an airplane?
That's like showing Hostel on the airplane without the cuss words.
or Alive.
I didn't know they edited movies for airplanes.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Been on an airplane.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Great Expectations, and I got to say, it was really fun when Gwen Paltrow didn't take off her dress. As a guy, I just want to say that. I'm, you know, because I was like in high school at the time, and, you know, any TNA in a movie to me was like gold, especially if it's like, you know, a hot movie star. And I'm sitting on the plane on the way from Spain, and I'm just like, uh-oh, they're showing Everybody Loves Raymond, Frazier, and Gwyneth Paltrow, and Great Expectations, and then nothing.
Aww.
It was very sad. And that's when I learned disappointment in high school.
We've started watching Frasier at 7 o'clock at my household. That's such a good show.
I love Frasier.
Such a good show.
You know, it really is. I love that show ever since I was little. And
so well written,
really,
so well acted.
Know, yeah, well, even the show, the seasons where they supposedly said it got really in, I was like, you know, it's classic.
It was still good.
Classic Niles, classic Frasier.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to be a psychiatrist because of Frasier. And then I realized, wait a second, he's an actor.
Yeah.
that came off very much like Eddie Izzard, sir. It's like, you ever thought of a squirrel like you wanted to be one, and you look at it and it goes, oh my, I've left the gas on. Oh wait, no you didn't, because it's a freaking squirrel. I thought that was
I love, like, Eddie Izzard.
Oh my god, I just bought Dress the Killer, and I was dying laughing. I watch it every night before I go to bed, because I keep falling asleep before it actually ends. And I need to keep playing. Yeah, I love Eddie.
You now condition yourself to go to sleep at the sight of a man in fabulous shoes.
I know. An executive of fabulous shoes. Not none of that hensy-pensy stuff.
Yeah. My daughter loves Eddie Izzard. She's like, the guy in the makeup.
He's,
and I'm like,
he is
you know,
hilarious.
Actually, tangentially, this reminds me, he was, you know, she was a little kid. She's like 8, I think. And there was, you know, it was a Madonna concert was on, like, HBO or something, and God only knows what tour it was. It was the tour with the stuff and the things where her arms looked scary and she couldn't sing on key, whatever concert that was.
I was about ready to say, what's concert of Madonna's ex? I think that's pretty much all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But she did, I think she did, one of the songs she did was, I can't remember, but Summer heard it on the radio later, and she's like, okay, wait for it. She says, oh, this is a song by the old blonde lady.
Yay.
And I'm like, what? Oh, Madonna.
The
and
old,
I was like, wow. I never thought of her.
They should
you know?
Say the old British lady.
The old blonde.
The old British lady.
I looks bad. Yeah, really. I'm frozen. When my heart's not open. Yes.
Like a virgin.
Oh, Lord.
This used to be my playground.
Ooh, used to be my childhood dream.
Do you know what? Okay, do you know what kind of thinks so? I now
here.
You know
they have a flag.
You see, I can't watch what? League of Their Own anymore because all I can think of is Rosie O'Donnell pining for Madonna throughout the whole movie, and I just can't. It just ruins it.
I can't watch it anyway, so you know.
Hey, that was a good movie.
It had Hanks in it. Okay, Hanks is kind of like. He doesn't quite have the power of Linda Hunt or Hector Elizondo, which is like MSG for movies. It's like anything you put them in, they make it better, no matter how crap it is. You put Hector Elizondo or Linda Hunt in it, and they can make the crappiest movie better. And
get TV shows. Monk. I'm sorry.
But Hanks is almost like that, but even he could
He can make a crappy movie mediocre. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah, Linda Hunt managed to make Kindergarten Cop mediocre because, you know, all her parts were really good.
You know, for me, Tom Hanks, you know, after Bosom Buddies, it was all downhill. You know, he hit it.
You're the second person that says that, has told me that before. And I know 100, I mean, in terms of comedy-wise, I agree with that.
Yeah, he was right on. That was it. That was his, well, yeah.
Dragnet, the movie. That movie was hilarious.
Yeah.
Volunteers.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see a different Dragnet than I did?
That's what I'm thinking.
No. Maybe it's because I grew up watching it. I don't know. Like, I just remember that stuff was, he played Pep. I thought that was hilarious. I seen it the other day on HBO. I watched it the entire time and was dying laughing. Some of it was very horribly bad, I will admit. But, you know, Aykroyd and Hanks did an okay job.
Yeah, they just.
There I am. I'm man enough to admit I like shitty movies too.
I'm a good fan of shitty movies, but yeah.
I like That Thing You Do.
That was good. Oh. I like that.
Like weirdly menacing in That Thing You Do.
Well, put it this way: I wouldn't go to a movie just because Tom Hanks was in it. It was.
Oh hell no!
No, it's not like one of those.
Joe versus the Volcano. Anyone?
Oh, I love that movie.
Sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to like it. It's just one of those ones that I remember, though. You know, I mean, because that's like my life, the drudgery, the whatever. But yeah, it's all good. You know? Brain cloud. Sorry.
Oh God, that movie was horrible.
It was horrible. I admit it. I'm just saying.
it just came back to me like a bad trip.
like a brain cloud. Yeah.
Okay, did you say a bad trip or a bad shrimp?
Trip.
A little bit of both. Like a never bad know shrimp. These days.
Little bad shrimp trip.
A little bad shrimp.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Eli shrimp. You like shrimp. Because it's delicious and good for your stomach.
Don't be shellfish.
And your giblets. And your giblets.
What about my giblets?
It's good for your stomach and your giblets. I don't know how giblets relate to stomach, but there you go.
We're going to a whole weird area now. I mean, now it's just too weird for me.
At first you turn left, and then you turn right because you're in the same place you're at. But then ahead you see the scary door.
Yeah. Well, if I could only play the.
And then there's an eyeball and a mannequin. And then there's William Shatner.
But it's not really William Shatner. It's a stand-in. Oh.
You could go through the window, but it would just leave you outside in the cold still. You have entered the scary door.
You've entered the podcast zone.
The podcast zone.
Well, you know what? This has been great. I know. I don't think we're going to stop talking, but I'm going to stop recording because this is basically going to be, I think, Gigcast 178. I'm going to throw some stuff in there. But So one last time before...
JT's going to go back and add himself in. Yes, welcome to the Geekcast.
Damn Skippy. You think I'm going to do an intro? I'm going to do a TBBA spotlight because Brian Anderson sent me some links. I got to mention. I'm going to do a shallow thought from Christiana Ellis, and then I'm going to launch into the talk show call. I didn't record it on talk show. I recorded it locally here, but yeah, this is going to happen.
Oh, I can see how this is going to go right now. So we have things been since the fire. You're going to be like, dig up that hat.
Oh, you'll be headlined. You know. All right, folks, this has been Geekcast 178 because I'm a lazy guy and this has been just too good not to use. So I'd like to thank everybody that jumped in on this impromptu podcast recording session on Saturday night, the 24th of January, 2009. We got Leah Hernandez. You're still on LiveJournal, Leah? Is that where they can find you?
Actually, you can go to divaleah.net now. That's where I am.
Outstanding. Divaleah.net. Garrett, where can people find your stuff online? Garrett Williams?
At Kenny Chronicles.
Kenny Chronicles. The Kenny Chronicles, of course. KennyChronicles.com. And, of course, Horatio, a.k.a., is at Rampage Network. Yes, Rampage.net, right?
RampageNetwork.com.
Network.com. Okay, gotcha. Casey Green,
and
of course.
You can follow me at Twitter at rHoratio.
rHoratio. Gotcha. All righty. And Casey Green, of course, the Night Gig member extraordinaire, now over a keen spot at Rumblow.com still, right, Casey?
You got it, bubby.
Rockin'. And, of course, Tao of Geek is where you can find Lit the Tizia, correct, Lit? I call you Lit because it's easier.
Yeah. I think you kind of got that around. I don't know. I'm kind of tired myself.
All right. And you can find Nick Nitro at dribble4kids.com. That's dribble4kids.com, not the number four.
That's right. We have a podcast there, too. You can listen to it. It's exciting and fun without me. All right.
Okay. The Good, Bad, and the Geeky. You can find them on iTunes. And then I need to get the Night Gig Studios podcast page up. That's what I need to do. All the related podcasts from Night Gig Studio members. And of course, we had Dungeon Warden in the chat room, as well as Jim Thorpe, Miss Sikelski, and Mike Schlotsky. If you guys want to put your URLs in there real quick, if my chat room is still updated. Hey, Brian from Stupitz, of course, Brian Gibson, local Tampa Bay resident. He's guest number 16, can't find his login password, and we're just about to end recording, but you can still log in and just talk, Brian. We're going to stop recording here, but check him out at stupids.com. Of course, Miss Sikelski is at thinksync.com. Garrett Williams is still thinking about taking out his Christmas tree. And Dungeon Warden is, of course, from dungeonlegacy.com, and I believe Miss Sikelski still has her Christmas tree up, too, so you're not alone in that, Mr. Williams. All right,
no,
folks.
You're not. I'm right there with you, Mr. Williams.
All right, folks. Scott might have been with me at the beginning of this because I don't know, but we'll record some news later on this week. If we get some Twitter bits or something, we'll do that then. But until next time, this is JT Schaefer, everybody here at Night Geek Studios and the Geekcast, saying until next time, enjoy your webcomics and any webcomic drama you can help dredge up. This has been the Geekcast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegeekcast.com. The Geekcast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at geekcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the Geekcast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The Geekcast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.